Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Thursday, March 20th. We have a staff birthday today. Our senior minister's assistant, Barbara Morgan, celebrates her birthday today. And so for Barbara and every child of God who celebrates in the month of March, I would love to pray the birthday blessing over you. Will you pray with me? Watch over your child, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their heart, may your peace, which passes understanding, abide all the days of their life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we enter into the scriptures, I just want to remind you that today is a wonderful day to open God's Word. What a blessing it is for us to each have a copy of His Word before us. We'll read from the prophetic book of Isaiah today. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. This is Isaiah's vision of the Lord. Listen to how he describes the Lord in all of His glory, and then what Isaiah says in response. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." Before we move on, I just want to talk a little bit about this passage. So Isaiah doesn't feel worthy to serve the Lord. In fact, he realizes the depth of his sin when he enters into the sanctuary of God Most High. But God makes a way for him to be redeemed. This is a prefiguring of what Christ does for us. Verse 7. "Behold, this coal has touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." In response to his sin being atoned, he is ready to go out and do the work of the Lord. And that is the same for us as well. Hopefully, when we recognize what Christ has done for us in forgiving us and for allowing us to be free from the debt of sin, we can go out in freedom, rejoicing and sharing the great hope that we have because of what Christ has done on the cross to atone for our sins. Speaking of the cross, in Matthew's gospel, we're getting closer and closer to the passion of our Lord Jesus. And in chapter 24, Jesus foretells about the destruction of the temple and then the signs of the end of the age. I'll be reading Matthew 24, verses 1 through 14. Jesus left the temple and was going away, when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them, "You see all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us when all these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered them, See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginnings of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Which verse stuck out to you from that passage about the signs of the end of the age? For me, it was verse 12. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. I want to elaborate a minute on what that might be. The love of many will grow cold. What does it mean for our love to grow cold? Well, it could be manifest in many ways, but I think that one way is the decline of compassion that we have for one another. And so, Lord, we pray that you would make us a people of great compassion. And as we learned yesterday, that we would be a people who overlook offenses instead of harboring on them. Another way that our love could grow cold is increased selfishness. Instead of looking to the needs of others, we turn inwardly and only look to ourselves and our needs. And then the love of God can grow cold, meaning that people leave the faith. They depart from believing in Jesus as Lord. And I just want to pray over our fellowship even now that we would be strong in our faith in the Lord and what he has done for us, and that he is present with us even now, that he's present with you in the room where you are. Even now, he is sovereign over whatever happens today. Even now, he is there ready to guide you. Lord, we ask that we would have big ears and that you as our shepherd would speak to us and we would follow. Okay, before I get carried away, let's move over to the Proverbs. Today we're in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 25. The ESV says it like this: It is a snare to say rashly, it is holy, and to reflect only after making vows. I'm going to read that in the New International Version. I feel like it might be a little easier to understand. It is a trap to dedicate something rashly and only later to consider one's vows. The practical application here is that we need to have thoughtful decision-making, especially if we're going to vow to do something, because we want to avoid regret and not speak rashly and saying we're going to do something when ultimately we cannot fulfill that vow. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word. I pray that the Lord would reveal to us areas where we have spoken rashly, and he will help us in the future to contemplate our commitments toward him and to take them seriously. I also pray that we would be a people whose love does not grow cold, and that we will be a people who recognize the great love that we have received in Jesus Christ and the atonement for our sins that we have received, and that we might, as a people of God, say to him, "Here I am, send me." I hope you have a great day, and just to end our day, I want to play the choral anthem from this last week. Enjoy. Enjoy.